This is a sermon on a review of the Sabbath. Now, I don't need to convince anyone here that we ought to keep the Sabbath because we're all here keeping the Sabbath. But I want to ask you a question. What is the main purpose of the Sabbath day? Okay, keep it holy. Now, I want you to think about what is the main purpose to keep it holy. Now, we'll different comments here. To rest.
Glorify God.
Obedience. Get closer to God. A sign. Okay, it's a sign. No work. Yes, indeedy. Okay. Okay, all of those are purposes of the Sabbath, correct? Now, we're going to learn some other things concerning it, which we already know. But you know, one of the most important things that we need to understand is that even though we know about the Sabbath, we can learn an awful lot concerning the Sabbath, and we're going to in this sermon today. I want to ask you another question. What does the law do for us? Or let's put it this way. What does the law define for us? Okay, it defines sin.
Breaking the law.
Okay, now we know that. What else does it do?
The boundary.
The law defines the minimum accepted behavior regardless of attitude. Now, attitude gets into it a little later, so I want to state that again. The law defines the minimum acceptable conduct regardless of attitude. For example, you may not have any other gods before you, but you might not really like that commandment, but you still follow it. You may not have any idols, but you may really desire to have an idol. See? You may not take God's name in vain, but you may be a miserable soul. Okay? You may keep the Sabbath. Now notice I didn't say holy. But you may not keep it the way it should be kept. Or you may be keeping it in a way where you're not sinning. Now, to not sin, we're going to see, does not necessarily equate with acceptable righteousness. Now, I put acceptable righteousness. Remember, why do I say that? Why would I say acceptable righteousness? Is there a righteousness not accepted? Okay, righteousness not accepted is self-righteousness. What else? So what other kind of righteousness did Jesus define? And he said, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. So that is telling us what? There is a minimum righteousness that is not acceptable to enter into the kingdom of God. See? So the law defines the minimum acceptable conduct, not considering attitude. Now, what does grace do? What does grace do? Grace shows us God's love and acceptance of us in our weakened condition and though still having a sinful nature. And God's grace is designed to what? What is it to do for us personally? To save us? Okay, what else is it to do for us personally? Now, in this life, what is it to do for us? To do what we can do. Okay, what else is grace to do for us? To do what we can't do. Okay, yes, that's true. What else is grace designed to do for us? Show us God's love. No, that's true. We already stated that. What else is God's grace supposed to do for us? It's to pardon, yes. What else is it supposed to do? This is a major thing it's supposed to do for our relationship with God. Let me ask it this way. If the law defines the minimum acceptable conduct regardless of attitude, what is grace supposed to do for us? Grace, when we understand it, is supposed to inspire us with God's Spirit to have a holy, acceptable conduct with what? A willing heart. Now that's what grace is supposed to do. That's the difference between affecting law and understanding religion or God by law as understanding God by grace. However, this is not to do away with law. You understand that? Law is a minimum acceptable conduct. Grace is to bring us to the highest level of acceptance by God. Because in our condition, if you really know, how many here really know by nature you're sinners? Every one of us. Deeply. We're all sinners. See? You know? Miserable, deceitful, wretched, rotten, sinning flesh. That's what it is. Okay? God comes along and says, I choose you, I want you, I love you, Christ died for you, repent of your sins, I'll give you my Spirit, you live within my grace. What is that supposed to do for you? Inspire you to what? Have a fantastic and marvelous attitude of faith. And you are not looking for a minimum standard of conduct, but you are looking for a whole way of life. Now, with that in mind, let's approach a couple things before we go to the Sabbath. Let's go to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. And believe it or not, it was a challenge to figure out how can I preach about the Sabbath for all those who've known it for so many years and still make it interesting. And I got to thinking, well, what do you do about the Sabbath? What do you know about the Sabbath? And so this is what started kicking it off here. Okay? Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, says the Lord, but to this one will I look, even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. So attitude is important, and we're going to see that attitude with the Sabbath gets down to the most important thing. Now, I'm going to save the most important thing concerning the Sabbath until the very end. Now, a couple of the things when I asked what is the most important thing concerning the Sabbath, several of you got right close to, but didn't, you know, it's kind of like here's the bullseye, and you just graze the bullseye, see? Okay? So I'll save that to the end. All right? Let's go to Micah, the 6th chapter, and here's something else it has about attitude. Okay, Micah, the 6th chapter. And attitude is very important. And I'm not talking about a positive attitude. I'm talking about a godly attitude. Well, what do I mean? What's the difference there? A person can have a positive attitude towards sin. As far as a positive attitude is defined in the definition of human positive attitudes. You know, just like this, you were telling me about this 2020 thing, the fishers of men, they have a positive attitude towards sin, don't they? They go out and they recruit men through promiscuity and recruit children to be pedophiles in their... And what was the name of this organization? Huh? Children of God. And they do it in the name of Jesus. So you see, that I'm not talking about a positive-minded human approach, okay? I'm talking about a godly attitude, a godly-minded approach. Micah 6 and verse 8. Now, let's go back to verse 1. Sometimes it's good you have to go back and you have to pick up the story flow. Hear you now what the Lord says. Arise, you contend before the mountains, or contend you before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear you, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and you strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And wherein have I wearied you? Testify against me. We could say that today concerning the United States. You know, God gave us a tremendous and wonderful land and tremendous crops and just every magnificent thing that a country could ever want. And yet they turned their backs on God, went whoring after their neighbors and everything like that, and all these results of their sins come upon them. God held his hand back, held his hand back, held his hand back, extended mercy, was kind, you know. So God is saying now, testify against me. For I brought you up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of servants, and I sent before you Moses, Miriam, or Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, did, and so forth. And we could go back and rehearse Civil War, World War I, and so forth. Wherewith, verse 6, shall I come before the Lord, and how myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression and the fruit of the body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Now there's the attitude right there. Right there is the attitude. And that's the opposite of what we have in the society today. We're you know, fulfilling the scripture where it says in Matthew 24, and because sin shall abound, many will be offended. I mean, everybody's offended at every little thing. It's terrible. You know, just like these thieves were going over the, what bridge was it, San Rafael Bridge? Yeah, they spotted this mother and son in a Mercedes-Benz, and they decided, hey, man, we want that car. So they go out and chase it down, scare her to death. She finally crashes it up, and then they're all mad because they couldn't steal it and it was crashed up, and they ran over and filled the car with slugs and killed the four-year-old boy. You know, they were offended because they couldn't get it. Or this fellow who finally they're going to put him to death after how many years? He went in and he killed an elderly man and woman because they only had 75 cents between them and no more, and just said, no money. You know, everybody's offended. Be careful on the freeway, you know. You know, don't, if something happens, just wave, smile, you know, and go on, because who knows? They might have a bazooka there ready to take you out of the lane. Might not like the way you smile. Okay. You need God's blessing. All right. Now, let's go back to another very basic scripture. Let's go to Isaiah 57 again. This is one that we have seen. And then we'll go back to Isaiah 66. Okay. No, Isaiah 55. Nope, 57. 57, sorry about that, verse 15. Thus says the High and Holy One that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. And revive the spirit of the humble, revive the heart of the contrite one. So this shows what God is really delighted in. It even says in other places, did I delight in burnt offerings, even though I commanded them. Now what if you bring a burnt offering? Okay, let's go to Isaiah 66 again. What if you only do it because God says so? I'll do it because God says so. So you do it. Do you believe you're going to get any benefit out of it? Do you believe that God is going to get any benefit out of it? Do you believe that God will accept it? Because we need to ask the question, why is the Sabbath day any different than any other day? It's the same length of time, 24 hours, right? Yeah, we'll get to that. That's correct. It's different because God sanctified it. That's right. Okay. Verse 3. If you don't have this attitude, Isaiah 66 and verse 3, he that kills an ox, that is for sacrifice, as if he slew a man. See, because God is not interested in the minimum of doing. Because God has said so, I'll do it because he said so, otherwise I won't do it. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck, and he that offers an oblation as if he offered swine's blood, he that burns incense as if he blessed an idol. I just think when we covered there about the priest and their conduct back in the book of Malachi last week and the week before, you know, this is how God looked at a lot of the sacrifices that they had. That's why God said in Isaiah, the first chapter, we'll get there in just a minute, he said, you know, I'm up to here with all of this stuff. See? Says, yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations. He says, I will also choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, how does God call? Through sickness, through natural catastrophes, through ministers, through other people who bring it to their attention that they're doing wrong. God calls, none did answer. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Now let's go to Isaiah, the first chapter, and let's see what sort of situation that this eventually became. Just like we mentioned, could you, let's ask the question today, do the Jews have the knowledge of which day is the right Sabbath to this day? Absolutely, yes, they do. Okay. Could they keep it in such a manner that it becomes their Sabbath when it should have been God's Sabbath? Yes. That's what we're talking about here. And the Protestants missed the whole point completely. They say God is doing away with his Sabbath here, but he's not. Let's pick it up here in verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, and give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Nothing could be more true of this nation today. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? I am full of burnt offerings of ram and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of goats. He commanded them to be. But you see, Isaiah 66 tells us that if you don't do it with the attitude that God intended, with a humble heart, with a yielded and contrite spirit, these things are obnoxious to God. Now think about it in the way of the churches today. They're claiming to do all of these things in the name of God and Jesus. I mean, just think about it for a minute. Now, there may be some sincere folk out there who are trying to do the best they can. I'm sure there are. But just think about how God looks upon all of these things. And believe it or not, the other night I heard Jerry Falwell say, what's wrong with the Protestant churches in America? And guess what he read? Anybody? Guess what he read? He read Revelation 3, verses 14 through 21, about the Laodiceans, rich and increased with goods and need of nothing, and are blind and naked. And so I think that he was really preaching a message to those people that they needed to hear. So we have the same thing here in this situation. When you come before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my courts? We're going to see a little. Remember the principle of going against what God has said? Remember when God said, okay, I'll lead you into the land, but first we're going to send in the scouts? And 10 of them came back and gave an evil report, and Joshua and Caleb couldn't turn the people back, and the people said, no, we're not going to go up. Then they said, oh, yes, we're going to go up, after God said, no, you're not going to go up. He said, you're going to be 38 more years wandering around in this wretched desert out here. Oh, no, we'll go up, Lord, we'll go up. So they went up, and they were beaten in battle and driven back. See, so people can't take something that God says they should do, say we won't do it, and then when God punishes them for it, turn around and say, oh, yes, we'll do it our way then, Lord. Applies to the Sabbath, too. That applies to Sunday. Because they take the principle, 6 days shall you work. Well, any 6 days you choose to work, but be here on Sunday. See? Falls into the same category. All right, now verse 13. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even your solemn meetings. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hate. They are a trouble unto me, and I am weary to bear them. So when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. And I don't think we're too far from that point as a nation. Now, let's go look at some of the Psalms and look at some of the attitudes that we need. Let's go to Psalm 128. That's why the Psalms are so good. Psalm 128 and verse 1. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord and walks in his ways. Now the fear here is to stand in awe of God. Because perfect love casts out fear. And if you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. That's Psalm 128, in case you didn't get it, verse 1. For you shall eat the labor of your hands, happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you. And the wife, your wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of your house, your children like olive plants round about your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. Okay, now that goes along with Sabbath keeping, because Sabbath keeping is one of the important things showing the attitude. Psalm 130. Now it shows here how to get out of trouble. Psalm 130, verse 1. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I will wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. So that's quite a change of attitude, isn't it? See, now this is what grace is supposed to do for us. Bring us to this attitude. Bring us to see what a great and marvelous and magnificent thing it is that God has reached down in our lives. Okay, Psalm, just the next Psalm here. Verse 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother, and my soul even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth forevermore. Let's get a marginal reference for this as a weaned child. Let's go, I think it's either 1 Peter or 2 Peter. I'll let you know here in just a minute when we get there. It is 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 2. So we'll put in there Psalm 131 and 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. Okay, which says the same thing. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Perfect New Testament scripture that fits it, right? Yes, it is. Okay, now let's go to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Psalm 112 and verse 1. Bless you the Lord, praise you the Lord rather. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. Psalm 112, verse 1. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Now, I want you to think about that. I know none of us are rolling in dough or have all kinds of wealth, but I want you to think of that in relationship to the riches of the kingdom of God. Then that really makes a lot of sense. Okay, let's go on. Chapter 13 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and evermore, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth, and he raises up the poor out of the dust? And I think the biggest problem with attitude is that people who do not have a right attitude before God do not understand how wretched they really are. They just don't. Okay, now let's go to Psalm 119. Okay, Psalm 119 and verse 1. This is a tremendous psalm, and I will. That's another one of the sermons I will bring among all those that we're already committed to bring about Psalm 119, but we'll peruse some of it here. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Now we're talking about a way, an attitude and a way. Who walk in the law of the Lord. See, they see more out of it than just the minimum conduct. Blessed are they that keep his commandments and that seek him with the whole heart. The attitude is the important thing. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Now, that's interesting. If you're under the grace of God and you're walking in his commandments, God does not view you as having any iniquity. And he doesn't do that to puff you up. He does that to inspire you, because down in your heart of hearts, you know what a rat you really are. See? You know, and God knows. But he looks upon you that way. And that is fantastic. And this is designed to inspire you, to uplift you, to really want to do God's way even more with all your heart. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. You might want to underline diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes, then shall I not be ashamed. When I have respect unto all your commandments, I will praise you with all my heart. When I shall have learned your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Now, we're going to go down here just a few more verses, because these verses all tie in are important. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought you. I want to really emphasize that this psalm, this whole psalm, is going through showing the attitude of heart in relationship to God and in relationship to what God has commanded. And that, we're going to see, is the whole key concerning the Sabbath, because unless that is there, you are going to miss the most important thing concerning the Sabbath day. Now, here we're meeting in this bank room, and all the employees just left. They don't even have any idea this is the Sabbath, because what we are going through is something that is beyond what they can comprehend, because this is spiritual, but it has to do with the attitude. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart. Now, we could put in there Jeremiah 32. Where's the new covenant? Put the laws and hearts in mind. Hebrews 8 and 10. Because, see, if you have a right attitude and those things are written in your heart and mind, then they become effective. Then we're going to see that certain things will happen because of that. We're coming to it. Your word is hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as all riches. I will meditate in your precepts and have respect unto your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Now here's the verse I'm coming to. Verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Because there are tremendous and wondrous things that we can learn out of God's law. Really great, marvelous. Okay? And this is what's going to happen today. God is going to open our understanding just a little more concerning the Sabbath, and we're going to learn it even from some of the scriptures that we've known in the past. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul breaks for the longing that it has unto your judgments at all times. Okay, now we're going to skip a few verses. But notice, I want to emphasize all the way through the heart. Let's go to verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Again, I want to emphasize that all the way through. Verse 58. I entreated your favor. Now this you can put in there, grace. I entreated your grace with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to your word. Verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Oh, so you talk about it. Real attitude, wholehearted attitude, there it is right there, you know, and this kind of, when you read this, and I read it, and I think, boy, now this is the kind of attitude I want to have all the time with God. Yes, this is what I want all the time with God, and then Monday comes. I have to go back to work, you know. Okay, verse 88. Quicken me after your loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimonies of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Okay, now drop over to verse 97. Oh, how love I your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they, that is, your commandments, are ever with me. Okay? Verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but your law do I love. So there again, we're getting into attitude. the use of God's law, the use of God's commandment, okay? And all of this involves the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is more than just the law. Sabbath is more than just the law. We'll see that. Let's go on here now. Verse 119. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. Now let's come to verse 127. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. And there would be absolutely no choice for anyone in the world not knowing God's law. You do this, if you could, or if it could be done. You get a nice pile of fine gold, say, about 18 inches high, and folds down in a perfect round cone pyramid. And then put the Bible right next to it. And you call someone in. First you have a little ante room here, and then you have this secret little room where you have the Bible and you have the gold. And you explain to them that you're going to give them, they have to make a choice, which gift they feel would be the best for them for their entire lives, beginning the very minute that they would make the choice. And you tell them, now you must make the choice. And then you say, now I'm going to blindfold you and lead you down the hall and bring you into this room. So you lead them down the hall, you bring them into a room that is dark. And you tell them, take off the blindfold, or you take it off for them, and you say, now I'm going to show you, and you switch on the light with just two big spotlights coming down, one on the gold and one on the Bible, and say, now choose which one you want. And you can be almost guaranteed 99,000 times out of 100,000 times they would choose the gold and leave the Bible there. But you see how, with the right attitude, you love the commandments of God above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, and notice what kind of attitude that this brings out. Therefore, I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right. Now that takes quite an attitude, doesn't it? Not hostile against God, not hostile against his commandments or anything, but just, you talk about, now there, if you want a perfect attitude, positive attitude, there it is, right there. And I hate every false way. Now, after we've gone through all that, let's go to one more verse, verse 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your, got this so colored out here that I can't read it. And your law is the truth. We come down here to verse 151. All your commandments are truth. And I think it's 172 goes along with that. Yep. All your commandments are righteousness. Now, let's go back and see something about God. And let's see something about the Sabbath. Let's go back to Genesis, the very first chapter. Genesis, the first chapter. Now, we're not going to take the time to go through and read the scriptures, but it might be a real good study for you this week. Maybe go through and read the scriptures concerning each one of the things of the days of creation, and just think about that during that day. Read that scripture in the morning. Day one, God did this. He created the light, and just, you know, meditate on that and think about that. But I guarantee you, everything that God has created, from not only light, separating it from the darkness, to the creation of the earth, to the creation of the atmosphere, the water, the dry land, the trees and herbs and the plants and the flowers and the birds and the fish and all of the animals that man to this day, after being on earth as long as he has, is still mystified about all of it. He can figure out some of it, but so much of it is an absolute mystery to him. And especially when you start seeing some of these programs about the heavens and the universe, they're finding things now that every theory they've ever had concerning the universe is just scrapped. Forget it. It's gone. Over and done. Because it's so fantastic. Okay? I just want to focus here on verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years." And of course, the word seasons has to do, as we'll see a little later here, with the holy days. Now, chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Remember, God has created everything that there is. And what is one of the most important things that God has created? In order to have all the things that have been created, there's one thing that God had to create first. What is that? And it's essential for human beings, not to God. God had to create time. See, that's the most important thing that God's created in relationship to man. He has created time. A measurement of that time is, as we saw in verse 14 there, of years and days and seasons and so forth. Now, we have this specially created time. Chapter 2 and verse 1. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested the seventh day from all his work which he had made." Now that tells us a lot. That doesn't fly in the face of the commandment that the Lord is not weary, he doesn't tire, he's not worn out, he's not like men. What need does he have of rest? God rested because on the earth with the Sabbath made for man, and he appeared to Adam, what? In the form of a man, he rested on the earth. Okay? Later, Jesus said, "My Father works hitherto, and I work." And this gives us an example of some of the things that continuously go on that God has not stopped. One of the things that God has not stopped, though he rests on the Sabbath, is time. God has not stopped the power of the electromagnetism which upholds the whole universe. That works and goes on. The sun doesn't go out on the Sabbath. You know, if the Jews had their way, there would be no fire anywhere at all. Turn the sun off. It's the Sabbath. Well, how we know when the Sabbath is over? I don't know. You just stay in the dark, you know. Okay? Now, so God created, he rested. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Now, that's the key important thing. Only God can make something holy. Or declare something holy. Why? Because only God is holy. That's why. Very simple. Now, let's take a look and see how our time is going here. Still have a little bit left. Let's not turn it over yet. Okay, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all the work which God has created and made. Now, what was one of the first things that happened on the Sabbath day? God instructed Adam and Eve. Had to have, because he made them male and female. He made them on the sixth day. That's why six is the number of man. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole account with Adam and Eve. I just want to leave that clue with you as to what really is the most important thing concerning the Sabbath day, aside from keeping it holy. What makes it holy? God makes it holy. We'll answer the question a little later. How does God make it holy? Obviously, he put his presence in it right here. That's how he makes it holy. Now, let's go to Exodus 20. Let's go right to the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20.